I'll be speaking from Genesis chapter 30, some verses of it, and also chapter 31. But let me begin by saying that do not expect me to give you a verse-by-verse exposition of the passage, as the passage is very, very long. But it is a good thing to read the full passage. There's just something about God's word, you know, undiluted as you just read it, you know, when we read it as it is. Jacob is introduced to us in the earlier chapters as a deceiver, a schemer, a trickster. He's an unbeliever, not a believer. He's the one type of person that will do anything he can to get to the top. He will deceive his own father as well as his brother. Anything that will take him to the top. That was Jacob. And then as we get into chapter 28, there was this encounter, the Bethel encounter. A fugitive on the run from his angry brother, Jacob one night had this direct revelation. He's confronted by God. If you like, that is Jacob's born again experience. God came to Jacob that night as he laid his head down on that stone and said to him, Jacob, I'm the God of your fathers. He introduces himself as the God of his grandfather, Abraham, and Isaac, his father. Jacob is being told about the same promise that God gave to Abraham. The promise that God will give them the promised land, Canaan. The promise that through the seed of Abraham, the entire world will be blessed. The promise that the posterity of Abraham and the prosperity of Jacob, as he speaks to Jacob, will become as numerous as the stars in the sky. Jacob, at that stage, inherits the promise from God. The Bethel encounter. His born-again experience. Then we move into the next phase of Jacob's life. The Padan Aram experience, I call it. Jacob spends 20 years in the city of Haran, in this place called Padan Aram. Jacob's life during this period can be described as his labor years. Jacob labored for his uncle Laban. Jacob labored for his wives. Jacob labored for his family. He labored to earn a living. He labored for the bridal prizes of Rachel and Leah. His labor years. During this point in his life, all his children were born except for one. The experience of Padan Aram in Jacob's life is one of discipline. Jacob, the master's trickster, is now found at the recipient end of Laban's, his uncle and father-in-law's, deception. He deceived his father. He took advantage of his brother. Here, Laban takes advantage of Jacob. On his wedding night, he was deceived. He was given Leah instead of Rachel, the woman he had worked 7 years for. And therefore, he had to work another 7 years. The Bible puts it beautifully in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. For God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. We see God taking Jacob through the next phase of training, of discipline, of rebuke. He's learning the lessons of humility. He's learning how to trust God. He's passed the Bethel encounter. He's now going through this phase where he's going through God's training. We look at Jacob's life, and you begin to see some good aspects of his life, as well as some negative aspects. I read one of the commentators who said that Jacob, at this phase of his life, was nothing but an unbeliever, a cheat, a deceiver, and you can think of all the negative things you can think about. And he seemed to be classifying Jacob at this phase of his life as an unbeliever. But I'd like to defer, because when you go through the text, you begin to see that this is a man who, on one hand, is trusting God, but on the other hand, he's failing to live consistently with the faith that he has in God. You just got to read chapter 30, verse 27. Where Jacob is speaking, is saying to Laban, you know how I've worked for you and for your livestock, and how your livestock have fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. He acknowledged the fact that it was God who was blessing Laban, and God was blessing Laban because of Jacob. He recognized that God's favor was upon his life. You just have to read chapter 31, the next chapter, and verse 7, when he was speaking to Rachel and Leah, and said, you know that I've worked for your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me by changing my wage 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. Jacob recognizing that God is protecting him. So you read his Paddan Aram experience, and you begin to see a man who at times is trying to live a life of integrity. He's trying to live a life of honesty. He's trying as much as he can to look after someone else's property, as if to say he's doing so in the fear of God. And then you read other aspects and you begin to see him acting inconsistently. Like the time when he was about to part ways with his father-in-law. You see him resorting to scheming. He took his family without the knowledge and consent of Laban. The old trick is wrestling against the new nature. Paul calls it the old man. The carnal nature, the man of the flesh that is wielding the powers, the brain powers. He's wielding fleshly means of trying to achieve a heavenly purpose. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 puts it this way. Live in the Spirit or walk in the Spirit so as not to desire the gratifications of the flesh. For the flesh and the Spirit lust against each other. There is a war that goes on between our flesh and our spirit. Our spirit is seeking to do that which is good. But the flesh, on the contrary, is trying to do everything it can to drain the energy, to drain the spirit from accomplishing that which God would like us to accomplish. Two nature wrestling in the life of that man. He's been through the Bethel experience where the blessings are there and God has spoken that God will stand by him. And we see God standing by Jacob in spite of what is happening. In fact, in the earlier verses of chapter 31, when the sons of Laban are accusing him of stealing their inheritance because God was just prospering Jacob. Jacob was afraid. And the Bible says God deemed it necessary. Excuse me. The Bible did not say God deemed it necessary. But God at that point came to Jacob and gave words of reassurance to Jacob that I want you to return back to Bethel. I'm going to be with you. Words of reassurance. So in the story of Jacob, you see, this man, a man of flaws, but more importantly, you see a God who is faithful to his covenant, a God who is patient, a God who loves Jacob in spite of. Jacob is making vows on his own terms, but we see a God who wants to be faithful and is faithful to Jacob and is carrying Jacob through. However, the schemes of Jacob, whatever seeds of corruption that Jacob is sowing to the flesh, Jacob reaps. There's something about the I won't say the word, I don't know why it's not coming. But it's just something about you sow and you reap. The consequences. He's going to the consequences. And God is using the consequences to what? To teach him. You see, Jacob, he's a man of fear. You just read the passages in meeting with Esau, his brother. You see the strategy he employs. Divides the family into two lots. He is scared. Read the passage. How he writes a letter to Esau, trying to pacify, you know, his brother. Using words like, oh, you are, it's like, he's trying to, in other words, trying to say that his brother is of a greater position, which is contrary to the prophecy that God has spoken over his life. You see, a man of fear, even when the reason why he left unceremoniously before Laban is because he was afraid. Jacob, a man of fear. What is the antidote to fear, that fear? Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 helps us to define faith. I like to quote it from the King James, which says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If everybody's there, you can read your translation. Faith. Anybody there? Faith is to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hope for deals with the future. Certain of what we do not see could relate to the present, but the unseen reality of the present. We as humans are often scared of the unforeseeable future. And we are often hesitant of the present that we cannot see. No wonder many people dabble in things like Ouija board, clairvoyance, crystal balls, palm mystery, reading of palms, and so forth and so on. Because they want to have a grasp of the future. Within some Christian circles, especially where I come from, a lot of people will stream into church, into those prophetic services, because they want to get a direct word from God about their future. We want to be in control of our lives. And what better way to do so than to be able to predict the future with great certainty? The unseen present, our education, science, especially Western upbringing, has trained us and schooled us to become skeptical of anything that we do not see. Anything that does not make sense to empirical investigation, we reject. But it will interest you to know that it is within this realm, the unforeseeable future and the unseen present, that faith thrives and faith operates. What is faith? Someone defines it simply as just having trust in God. We can see Jacob, he's had that direct revelation from God. But between the Bethel experience and to the end of his Paddan Aram experience, it was 20 years. It had taken 20, God has spoken to him 20 years. And then he's going through all these, you know, crises in Laban's territory, and then God speaks to him again and says, I'd like you to return. Faith. Fear. Psalm 46 verse 1 puts it this way, that God is our refuge, our present help in times of need. That's what scripture says. We go through the trouble. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. And then you look at scripture. God is our ever-present help in times of need. But where is he? I can't touch him. I can't feel him. I can't taste him. I can't smell him. He's beyond my senses. Where is he? We grapple in the dark. But if only faith comes into the equation, that which is unseen will be seen through the eyes of faith, will be felt through the hands of faith. It takes that unseen reality and makes it tangible to the Christian. The unseen reality. You're concerned about the future. We can look back to Jesus' resurrection. You can think about those words, encouraging words of truth that David just shared with us. How can a man facing death in the face? When I went, my wife and I went to encourage the family, we just ended up being encouraged. There's something about faith that is bringing the intangible and making it real. And I pray that all of us, if we've not come to Christ, will seek to do so. And if we have, and we're struggling like Jacob, it's okay. God loves us. God is faithful to his covenant. But God wants you to move past Bethel as you go through your Paddan Aram experience. God wants to bring us to a place called Peniel, where the struggle and the wrestling with God goes in. We'll save that for the next speaker. But I want to ask you this question. Are you before Bethel experience? Are you not a Christian? Are you more or less like the natural man? The natural man living for his own self, his own ambition. The natural man, just like Laban. Laban didn't care. He was greedy to the point where his daughters said this about their father. What did he say? Okay, anybody can read it, if you got it.
Then Rachel and Leah replied,
yes.
Do we still have any share in the inheritance
of our father, yes?
Does he not regard us as foreigners?
Does he not regard us as foreigners?
Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us.
Not only has he sold them, but he has used up. Greedy Laban will stop at nothing to make profits and will trade his family for money. Greedy Laban, or superstitious Laban, I should say. Interesting, one of the verses you read, it was through divination that Laban got to know that it was the God of Jacob. That was the reason behind his blessing. But he sought it through divination. People operate in sorcery and witchcraft because they want to have a grasp of the future. You could see them not operating in faith, because faith takes God as his word. Faith looks at Christ. Faith sees the action that God has done for humanity, the great love that has been shown, and faith responds. And in spite of what the brain cannot comprehend, faith continues to hold and believe, because we've seen what Jesus has done. And therefore, all the promises in his word will come to pass. Don't be like Laban. Don't be in the pre-Bethel state. If you are, all you've got to do is come to him. You may say, well, Frank, I've been coming to church for maybe for the past 2-3 years or even 7. But have you really come to him? Have you really had a Bethel encounter? But most of us, I suspect, including myself, might be just wallowing in this Paddan Aram experience. Perhaps maybe our lives are going round in circles and we're going through spiritual discipline, because God disciplines the son that he loves. and things are becoming chaotic. But God is working out, nevertheless, His purposes in us. God is teaching us vital lessons. But perhaps you can still be in that circle and have not yet experienced really a breakthrough. Like I said, you've got to come to the point of Peniel, the place of death. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for how we've been encouraged today. No other faith can claim that which we have. Lord, I pray that you help us to continue to trust you. Although sometimes your ways may seem delay, but help us to see the bigger picture, to know that you are in charge. And as long as you're sitting on that throne, everything is under your control. Lord, there are so many things we can see in Jacob's life and take encouragement. And Father, it's just amazing that just as you were not ashamed to be identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we can take encouragement that we too, with flaws, you are not ashamed of us to be called our God. And for that, Lord, we just want to give you praise and bless your holy name once more. And thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing us out of the clutches of hell and putting us on a path to glory land, to heaven. Blessed be your name. Lord, I want to pray that, Lord, you continue to bless David. Continue to be real to him and to many here that need you at this point in time. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen.